Thanks for joining us today at City Life. We believe today's message will empower you and point you towards Jesus. But remember that church is so much more than a message you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be a part of. We hope to see you on a Sunday morning at City Life, in person or online.
On the morning of October 2nd, 2006, Charlie Roberts said goodbye to two of his children at the school bus stop, then began to drive with a specific destination in mind. Charlie Roberts was a milk truck driver who serviced the local community of Nickel Mines, Pennsylvania, including the farms of the local Amish. 9 years earlier, his wife Amy had given birth to their first child, a baby girl. However, the baby died after living only 20 minutes. His daughter's death affected him greatly, and he blamed God for his pain. Roberts backed his pickup truck into the schoolyard of the West Nickel Mines Amish School. Inside the one-room schoolhouse were 28 students and three adults. When he walked in the door, some of the children recognized him as their milkman. But Roberts was not carrying milk that day. He carried a gun. Roberts forced the male students to bring in supplies to barricade the door, and during the chaos, some of the adults escaped to a nearby farm to call 911. As the police began heading to the small schoolhouse, Roberts told the boys to leave, and they huddled near an outhouse to pray. Roberts had the 10 girls lie on the floor, and he tied their hands and feet. He told the girls he was sorry for what he was about to do, but I'm angry at God, and I need to punish some Christian girls to get even with him. Realizing the police had arrived, Charlie refused to cooperate, and moments later, gunshots rang out from inside. When police broke into the one-room Amish schoolhouse, they found 10 Amish girls aged 6 to 13 had been shot. Five of them were dead. The body of Charlie Roberts was lying in the corner. He had committed suicide. The story made national headlines, not because of the travesty of that day, but because of what happened next. The Amish community, who had just lost those little lives, responded in a shocking way. In the midst of their grief over this shocking loss, the Amish community did not cast blame. They didn't point fingers. They didn't hold a press conference with attorneys at their sides. The afternoon of the shooting, an Amish grandfather of one of the girls who was killed expressed forgiveness toward the killer. That same day, Amish neighbors visited the Roberts family to comfort them in their sorrow and pain. 6 days later, the Amish attended Charlie Roberts' funeral and ended up being half of the mourners present. This included Amish parents who had just the day before buried their own daughters. They hugged the family of their children's murderer and cried together. People asked, how could they forgive such a terrible, unprovoked act of violence against innocent lives? The Amish culture closely follows the teachings of Jesus, who taught his followers to forgive one another, to place the needs of others before themselves, and to rest in the knowledge that God is still in control and can bring good out of any situation. The Amish understood the power of forgiveness and what it is not. Forgiveness is not pretending that nothing happened or that the offense wasn't so bad. It's not saying there should be no consequences for actions. Had Charlie Roberts lived, the Amish no doubt would have supported his prosecution and imprisonment for the sake of everyone's safety. Rather, they believe forgiveness is about giving up your right to revenge and giving up feelings of resentment, bitterness, and hatred. The Amish community of Nickel Mines, Pennsylvania knew they wanted to forgive, yet knew it so clearly that they could express it immediately and publicly, even if they didn't feel it yet. Wow. One Amish grandmother laughed when asked if there had been a meeting to decide if the gunman should be forgiven. No, she and others said, forgiveness was a decided matter, decided long before October 2nd created the tragic opportunity for forgiveness. So cool. Wow. Good morning. Yeah. My name is JD. I'm part of the team here at City Life, and we are continuing this series, The God We Call By Name. The God We Call By Name. God has many titles, names, character traits, and so far we've discovered he is compassionate and gracious. He is slow to anger. He is faithful and loving. Today I want to remind most of us and reveal to some of us that our God is a forgiving God. in the second book of the Bible, Exodus. It's a historical account about the Israelites and a man named Moses. And Moses walked closely with God and he knew him on a personal level. This is amazing. He spoke with him. He spent time in God's presence. And even the lucky duck got to see God in person, although he could not look on his face. And you can read that in Exodus 34. It's like, God, I'll walk past you. I'm gonna cover your eyes. You can't see my face, but I'll let you see the back of me as I walk by and see my glory. Exodus 34, and we've been going over this verse every week in this series. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Have you ever been called by a name that defined you? A nickname or a title or a reputation? Well, God, as we just saw, he proclaims his own name. He reveals his own nature to us. One of his defining attributes is forgiveness. And it's not just that he forgives as an action, it's that forgiveness is who he is. It is his nature. His forgiveness flows out of everything in him, his love, his mercy, his grace, his redemption. Just look at these verses. Psalm 86:5, you, Lord, are forgiving and good, because you're abounding in love to all who call to you. So out of that love comes forgiveness. Isaiah 55:7, let the wicked turn to the Lord that he may have mercy on them. Yes, turn to our God, for he will forgive generously out of his mercy. Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. There's another trait about God in that verse as well, redemption, which is rescuing someone from a bad situation, purchasing someone back from slavery. And we need that. We are slaves to sin without Christ. Colossians 1:13 and 14. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. Man, there's some power in those words. It's not just a little like, hey, you know, you're fine. It's like he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. His forgiveness rescues us from the dominion of darkness. This is the very nature of who God is. Every aspect of him compels him to forgive, not as an action, but out of his nature. 1 John 1:9, great verse, good verse to memorize, good verse to claim. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all wickedness. And when we confess our sins, he will forgive. Not maybe, not I'll think about it. I know what you did. I got to consider for a moment. No, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But how do we receive forgiveness for our sins? Okay, multiple choice time. Here we go. You ready? Our sins are forgiven through A, positive vibes. B, attending church 3 weeks in a row without falling asleep. C, posting a public apology on social media to appease the cancel culture social justice warriors. D, going on a soul-searching trip to Bali. E, being true to yourself. F, rebranding your sin as a personal growth phase. G, deleting your browser history. H, Googling how to forgive yourself at 2 a.m. Or I, Jesus. What do you think? Anybody got an idea maybe which one might be the real answer? What do you think, Everson? You are correct. It's Jesus. Good job. Jesus is how we receive forgiveness for sins. Before I continue, it's probably good if we're all on the same page. And if you're here today and you are choosing to follow Jesus, you're new to this, or you're open to the idea of following Jesus, it's pretty important to know that Jesus can't be your Savior if you don't acknowledge what he is saving you from. How can you know your Savior if you don't know what he's saving you from? God's word doesn't sugarcoat it, doesn't downplay it. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Me? You? Yeah, all of us have sinned and we fall short. We do not measure up on our own. We've sinned. We can't meet God's standard. But there's good news, you guys. Romans 10:9, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, we can receive forgiveness. Colossians 2, you were dead. Just look at the person beside you and say, you were dead. You were dead because of your sins. You were dead. Dead, dead, dead. Not just kind of not a great person, not just kind of out of it. No, you were dead because of your sins and because of your sinful nature and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God. That is a great start to a sentence, if I may say. Yeah. Then God. Come on, we all have then God moments in our stories. I was dead to sin. I was doing this. I was living like this. I saw life this way, whatever. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. This is why Easter is such a big deal. Forgiveness comes when you acknowledge what you've done and you actually approach Jesus in humility. Now I'm going to show a clip, and if you're watching online, there are links in the message notes in the City Life app, because we can't show it online otherwise, but that's how you still can watch it, so you can be part. But I'm going to show a clip of what does it look like? What could it look like if you were face-to-face with Jesus and doing this? And I bet you can't guess where I'm showing this from, but we'll see. Okay, take a look. It's called The Chosen. You can watch it. It's something I kind of like. I occasionally mention it. You can watch it for free on The Chosen app or on many different areas. Guys, and it's not Bible, okay? Like, it's not like, that's the Bible. But, man, do I feel like when you just, like, immerse yourself in what would it be like in that time, it makes the Bible come more alive. It makes me want to read it more, understand it more, place myself in it more. It's so good. Anyways, man, to stand in front of Jesus like that. But guess what? You might not get to physically do that, but you have the opportunity every day to stand in front of Jesus and to just speak to him about this, to receive what he offers. All have sinned, and God forgives us through Jesus. But what happens to our sin when God forgives? Does he just brush it under the rug or whatever? No, look at this. Jeremiah 31:34, I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins. Wow. Now, is God amnesiac? No, he is choosing to say, it's done. I've dealt with it. I will not hold that against you. Romans 4:8, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of sin. Wipe our slate clean. No more red on the ledger. It's an Avengers reference. Anyways, Psalm 103:1 and 2. This is a great one. He has removed our sins from us. Like to over there? No, as far as the east is from the west. How far is the east from the west? Exactly, right? So far as he removed our sins from us. He removes sin. He wipes our slate clean. He chooses to blot from memory. And it is not simply kind words. I forgive you. God's forgiveness carries life-changing ramifications. If you are in this room, if you are watching online, if you have experienced the forgiveness of Jesus, man, we heard that testimony yesterday. We heard that at the guy's brunch, just some incredible examples of like how much it changes a person when you receive the forgiveness of Jesus over your life. So powerful. So powerful. And it is a gift being offered. It is a gift being offered to us. So what do we do with this gift of forgiveness? If God is like, here you go, I would love to give this to you. I can change your life through this. What do we do with this gift? Well, first, we must believe in Jesus. It's got to start there. Acts 10:43. Everyone who believes in Jesus receives forgiveness of sins through his name. So you can't just receive it until you believe in him. What must we believe? That Jesus is the Son of God, that he lived a perfect life as one of us, that he died as a perfect sacrifice for our sins, and that he rose again victorious over sin and death. That is what we must believe. And once we believe, then the second thing is we must confess our sins. Ooh, we like to skip this one. Psalm 32:5. Finally, and just listen, like imagine if this was you saying this. Maybe this is your testimony, actually. For many of us, this would be our testimony. Finally,
Finally, after a long time, after years and years or whatever, whatever. Finally, I confessed all my sins to you, God, and I stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord. I'm putting some language to this. Not just whoopsie, like rebellion to the Lord. I confess it, my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me. All my guilt is gone. For so many of us in this room, that is our testimony. That is our testimony. That's our story. I confessed all my sins. I stopped trying to hide my guilt. Oh, I was doing so good at it too. Nobody knew. But I knew. You knew. And so I just admitted to it. Man, it is life-giving when the weight of guilt comes off, when you own it and voice it. It's like, yeah, I did that. Yeah, that is my attitude. Yeah, that is my outlook on life. Yeah, that is the actions I took. And it was wrong, but I'm coming to you, God. I'm going to start by saying, yeah, I did it. No more excuses. Number three, we must ask for forgiveness. Luke 11:2-4, Jesus says, this is how you should pray. Father, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. Give us each day the food we need and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. So Jesus, in the Lord's Prayer, makes it pretty clear. We must ask for forgiveness. We need to come before him and ask. And then, number four, we must repent. But you're like, wait, isn't that what I just did? I asked for forgiveness. Repentance is more than just asking for forgiveness. It's more than just admitting we've sinned, or it's more than just saying, I'm sorry. It's more than that. It's actively turning away from the sin. I've been going this way. I do feel bad. I've admitted I've done it, and I want your forgiveness. I'm asking for it, but now I actually have to turn away from it because I actually mean what I say, and I want my actions to reflect what's happening in my heart. So I'm going to pursue you instead of this. So I'm going to repent. I'm going to do 180. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. Okay, so that's in there too. You can't just pray. It's like, I'm going to actually turn from my wicked ways. Here's this list of things. Look at what he says. It's like, if my people humble, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then, so there's a progression here, then I will hear from heaven, and I'll forgive their sin and heal their land. You got to do this stuff first. Then I will gladly forgive you because I am the God who forgives. Followers of Jesus, you are called by name, just like Mary in the show. God calls by name. I'm calling you to me. And we must humble ourselves, pray, stand before Jesus. Maybe not in the physical sense, but in a very real sense. Coming before him, looking him in the eyes, repenting, turning from sin. And then he bestows forgiveness on us. Our God is a forgiving God, and we just have to give him the chance to prove it every day. Now, once we're good with God, okay, he has forgiven us, he has cleansed us, he has made us right, he sees us through the lens of Jesus now, I see you as pure, holy, and blameless. When we are good with God, we are called to let that forgiveness flow through us and forgive others. Oh, can't we just stop at the Jesus forgives me and I'm good? Can't that be enough? I don't want to have to do anything about that. No. Forgiving others is hard. We have all struggled with it. You are immediately recalling memories or something immediately stirred up and it's like, shoot, I knew I shouldn't have came to church today. Shoot. You know, the original disciples of Jesus were no different. They were dealing with things too. I got another clip for you in a second from The Chosen. Okay. In it, so, you know, they're taking liberties, plausible liberties, fleshing out what could it look like? What could it look like, this band of misfits that God has called together? What were their interactions like in that? And so one of the ways they portray this is Matthew and Peter. So Peter, a follower of Jesus, Matthew, who was a tax collector, that's factual. But they portrayed as Matthew was the tax collector that really messed up Peter's life. And so they have history together, okay? They've got history. And Peter has said many times, like, man, I hate you. I will never forgive you. You spit in the face of the Jewish community. Like, I will never forgive you for what you've done. And so he's harboring this unforgiveness. And yet, we're called to something more. Take a look at this.
Yeah, sorry, if you haven't seen that part yet, I know I just ruined a plot point, but come on, you've had a long time to watch this show, but like Peter, we got to remember, you know, he's sitting there, how can I do that? We remember we needed forgiveness first. We were in need of forgiveness, and once we do, out of that connection with Jesus, oh, right, you forgave me. I will extend that to others. So Matthew 18, where that account takes place. Then Peter came to him and asked him, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? 7 times? No, not 7 times, Jesus replied, but 70 times 7. And then Jesus goes on and he immediately jumps into a story. And he's telling Peter and the disciples this story, and he goes, therefore, the kingdom of heaven could be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. He couldn't pay, so his master ordered that he be sold along with his wife, his children, and everything he owned to pay the debt. Dang. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, please be patient with me and I will pay it all. Then his master was filled with pity for him, and he released him and forgave his debt. That'd be a great ending to the story. But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few $1,000. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little more time. Be patient with me, and I will pay it, he pleaded. But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. Then the king called in the man he had forgiven and said, you evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. That's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. Who said that? Jesus. Oh, but Jesus is just the lamb around his shoulders, you know, the liberal arts major that, is just the hippie that's just like, oh, just love everybody. And Jesus, it's like, you don't forgive, God withholds forgiveness from you. That's crazy. And who was he saying it to? His disciples, church folk, you. He was saying this to you. So why should we forgive? Man, the heart of God is the heart of the cross. It is forgiving. God is forgiving, but here's a warning, because let's be clear as well. It's not all just sunshine and roses. The Bible actually gives clear examples. There are things you can do to prevent God's forgiveness in your life. He loves to forgive. He is forgiving by nature, but you can determine whether or not that forgiveness gets to come your way. God will not forgive if we continue a life of sin, Deuteronomy 29. God will not forgive if we follow other gods, Joshua 24. God will not forgive if we blaspheme the Holy Spirit, Mark 3. And God will not forgive if we refuse to forgive others. God, you've forgiven me. Thank you. Great, now go forgive others. I don't want to. Maybe you aren't actually forgiven. Colossians 3, 12 to 13. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults. Like, just look around this room for a minute. How many people here? You know, it's like, oh, I can make allowance for those faults or whatever. Like, we're all people messing up in need of forgiveness. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Not some, not the ones you want to, anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you, if you so desire, if you casually choose, no, you must forgive others. The church must be a community of forgiveness. Somebody did you wrong? Forgive them. You don't have to be in relationship with them. You don't even have to like them. But if you say you're a follower of Jesus, you're actually commanded to forgive. Did you pass that test during COVID? Let's go back in time a couple of years. Have you forgiven the person who yelled at you because you didn't wear a mask because you were being selfish and risky? Have you forgiven the person who yelled at you because you did wear a mask and you were cowering and complying? It's been 5 years. Are you still holding on to, I know, are you still holding on to unforgiveness for what that person said to you when we were all tense and having a hard time? Doesn't excuse it, but come on. You've heard this, holding a grudge is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. What good is holding on to your grudge? Oh, but JD, you don't understand. Forgiving that person, you don't know my circumstance. Forgiving that person is impossible. Really impossible. Has someone come into your child's classroom and shot them in the back of the head? A whole community of God-honoring Amish people would tell you forgiveness absolutely is possible. Forgiveness is a choice, not a feeling. Neil Anderson wrote, "Don't wait to forgive until you feel like forgiving. You'll never get there. Feelings take time to heal after the choice to forgive is made." And like Peter in the clip, what if you just chose to forgive? I don't have the feelings yet, but I know you're right, Jesus. You reminded me. You've forgiven me. I should forgive others. I'm just going to do it, and then let's see what comes out of forgiveness. Will I like this person? I don't know, but I'm just choosing to let go of what I have held on to for way too long. And forgiveness is not saying it was okay. No big deal. It's not saying that, but it is saying I'm not going to let what you did ruin my heart. And I believe there's people in this room, all of us, there are people we need to forgive. There are people that you might need to walk across the room like Peter, just after service, it might just be like clear a path through the crowd of people and just grab someone and be like, I have been held, like, I forgive you. Like, I have been holding this against you, but really holding it against me. I don't want this anymore. I want to be good. I don't want this holding me back. Man. What would our church, what would the church look like if forgiveness flowed from us like it does from our Father? Can we stand up? What would that look like? Forgiven people forgive. Forgiven people forgive. Are you forgiven? Are you a follower of Jesus who has accepted his forgiveness in your life? You've claimed that? Forgiven people forgive. Not from our strength, not from our own character. I can never forgive out of my own strength. But we become like Christ. We embrace his character, the God we call by name, a God who is forgiveness, who is forgiving, and I'm going to claim that nature as my own. And I will forgive others because my God forgave me. I will be forgiving because I'm made in the image of a forgiving God. 2 Corinthians. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, are you in Christ? Are you in Christ? Have you made the decision to follow Jesus? Therefore, if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. The old is gone. Oh yeah, I could never have done that before. Yeah, that's fair. You're right. You couldn't have done that before. You're a new creation. You can now because the new has come. The forgiving nature of Jesus resides in you if you follow Jesus, if you have handed over lordship to him. It actually is there. And you are able to let go of so much that has been burdening you for so long. And I don't know who that is in your life. I'm sure we also need to go and apologize and ask forgiveness from others and stuff. Absolutely. Maybe it's time to forgive your dad. Maybe it's time to forgive your mom. Maybe it's time to forgive your kids. Maybe it's time to forgive that coworker. Maybe it's time to forgive that ex. What good does it do to hold that in your heart? That is not the heart of our God. We want to be free. We want to walk in his freedom.
Forgiven people forgive. This is how we reflect our Father. But you can't genuinely and purely forgive others until you come to Christ for that gift of forgiveness. You can't give something you don't have. You can't give something you don't have. But if you have, so we've got to start by receiving that forgiveness of sins. So I want to pray. I want to pray two prayers. First off, forgiveness from Jesus is so essential. So if we would just close our eyes, I want to invite you today, if you're here and it's like, I want to step into a life that is bigger than my own. I cannot do it on my own. I know it. No matter how I look on the outside, I know that I need forgiveness of sins. Would you just pray with me? We can all pray together and just say, Jesus, thank you for what you've done, for living a perfect life, for being a perfect sacrifice, for dying on a cross to bury my sin and shame, and then leaving it in the grave because you rose again. I step into that life, that resurrection life. Would you resurrect my heart? Would you forgive me of my sin by your great mercy? Make me new. I am a new creation. Leave my old behind. I step into the new. Jesus, we must be transformed by you. We cannot do this life on our own. There will be a lifetime of opportunities to hold grudges and hold unforgiveness. We need you to be able to do that. And the second prayer, do you need to forgive someone? Is now the time to forgive and let go? And we can pray that here, and we'll also have people up front after if you want some more extended, like we can pray with you. But maybe it's time to forgive someone today. And I think our simple prayer could just be, you know, you can fill it in the blank for yourself, but why don't we just say, Jesus, I'm gonna choose right now to forgive, and then quietly say whoever that is or whatever the circumstance is. Just say, I don't feel it yet. I don't know if I'm ready, but I believe in you, and your forgiveness flows through me, so I will give it to others. Let this be done in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God, for what you do. This is just one way of your transforming power that actually changes us from the inside out. God, we release these things to you. Holy Spirit, would you just take time even right now as we wrap up today? God, would you just, maybe we know and it's like, hey, I'm actually gonna beeline it out of here after and I'm gonna go find that person. Great, do that. But maybe you just need to rest in this a bit. Like I said, any prayer or whatever. It does take time and it's not an easy thing, but we serve a God who is forgiveness. So we will extend that to others. Amen? Amen.
Just before we wrap up, I think there's one other thing that came to mind. We can close our eyes. There's some people here. You're in situations that weren't of other people's doing. They're of your own doing. And you haven't been able to forgive yourself. In fact, you don't have a problem forgiving others, but you actually have a really hard time forgiving yourself because you know, I did this. I created this pain. I wrecked this relationship. I made this mess. And there's a part of you that's almost like, I deserve this. Jesus died for the things we intentionally did. Not just the mistakes, but the things that we've done that in hindsight we realize we have created this mess. He does not want you to pay forever and beat yourself up forever, but he wants you to receive his forgiveness. He knew. He knew you would do it. And that forgiveness is extended. And if that's you, I'm just going to lead us in one more prayer and just say, Jesus, thank you for forgiving me. I extend that forgiveness to myself. And I receive that forgiveness. And I just tell myself, you are forgiven. You don't have to pay forever. It is not wrong to allow the guilt to be soothed by forgiveness. And it is not virtuous to embrace the pain of failure. It's virtuous to receive the life of my Savior. And I receive that now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc/next step or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor to play a small part in what God is doing in your life. We look forward to connecting with you soon.